Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egbuemeke, and we got plenty to work with coming off James Harden's outing last night back home in Houston and the resulting mixed bag of boo birds and things that went on there. Does it prompt a retroactive look at what happened with James Harden while he was in Houston? Are we ready to put a bow on this stuff, or is it going to continue to leak over? We'll tell you about that in about 10 minutes here. Plus, we're going to get our buddy Perk stopping by here. I feel like we haven't talked to Kendrick Perkins in a while here. And quietly, or maybe not so quietly, very loudly now as we head into the All-Star break, we might be looking at a bit of an officiating issue here that Jhené Egbuemeke is going to help us make sense of. Because
I'm ready.
Jhené, it has gotten pretty wild on that front. But before we do all that, we got a quarterback in the carousel that now appears ready to get off this one. The Pittsburgh Steelers announced that Ben Roethlisberger is officially back with the team for the 2021 NFL seasons. While they didn't disclose terms, a source told ESPN's Adam Schefter that Roethlisberger will willingly reduce his pay to $14 million, down from $19 million in the final year of his contract, and spread the cash payment through 2022. The move lowers the team's salary cap hit by more than $15 million. And Jhené, we've talked a lot about this as one of the older quarterbacks in the NFL coming off the season he did. Is this a good move for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Is this something we think that fans are excited about?
I kind of like this, you know, from an athlete perspective, being willing to know where you are reality-wise, not where you were, you know, a couple years ago when it came to the franchise overall. I like this because Ben Roethlisberger knew that based on his play, there was an argument there to reduce his pay. And to have that level head and meet them at the table and say, all right, let's find a scenario that works for us. You know, I actually am not mad at this. I'm really interested by this Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback room with Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins there. You know, I think this is a gradual evaluation period for their quarterbacks. And I like quarterbacks being able to leave on their own terms. And maybe Ben felt like he needed another year or two. Who knows? Maybe he plays his way back to a few more. But the reality is, at least ending on his own terms, he didn't feel like it was this past season, especially based on how the Steelers started the season. Like, there was a lot that was going really well until it wasn't. And so I think that this is a good meeting in the middle, Junior.
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And from the athlete's point of things, I do love that idea because we're watching right now a lot of bad news get handed out around the NFL. Remember days like today when you hear the concept of player loyalty to teams thrown around as we get some people like Saints punter Thomas Morstead, who was released today, who was in tears because of how much that city and team mean to him and who apparently did not get much of a conversation from the team before they made the decision. That's what loyalty's about in this business. It's grimy sometimes. And so, yeah, I'd like that for Ben Roethlisberger. But Jhené, from the 30,000-foot point of view on this, it's interesting to look back. Ben Roethlisberger turned 39 last week. He threw 33 touchdowns and 10 interceptions last year. And when you say it out loud like that and you look at the record, it doesn't seem so bad. But we remember what we were watching, even coming off an elbow surgery, an offense that wasn't going down the field, a quarterback that did not have a run game to complement it. And now this offseason, Jhené, it doesn't look like right now. Now they've got this money freed up. Again, he was supposed to be under contract in the 2021 season, but the team made it clear he wasn't going to return with a $41 million cap hit on there. So changing that up is going to help them make some moves, Jhené. But this seems more like a team that is maybe content to see if they can capture some of last year's lightning in a bottle. And if not, maybe you get a little of what this has very 2020 Patriots feel to me, where this could be a team that maybe they do capture some of that. It's a proud organization. It's a great head coach and a quarterback that we've seen have some stellar highs. And if not, maybe it goes bad enough to where very quietly you're a bad enough team to put yourself in quarterback position high in the 2022 draft.
And Junior, I'm now looking at, you know, as me, I'm trying to get used to all the football nerddom. I'm looking at the cap space, and now the Pittsburgh Steelers look like they're around 18th, midway through the league with their cap space, which they have to feel pretty good about, especially this year, because there are some teams that are big, hurting hard when it comes to the salary cap. But I think this is a good point because, you know, Diana Russini, our own ESPN NFL reporter, has been making stops, you know, around our network and sort of highlighted the idea that this year the purse strings are way tighter. And so a number of players are more likely available. It's a buyer's market for teams that do have the space. How do you see things shaking out? Like, do you think, you know, veterans in this league might be in the position, you know, as we talk through the players' point of view, to restructure more? Or do you think that they're more off to leave? Like you said, we saw the loyalty happen here with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But overall, what's happening with the NFL?
What's happening with the NFL, I think, is going to be a short-term version of what the entire last CBA did. You saw mid-level veterans priced out of the NFL in a lot of ways. A deal that was supposed to elongate careers, make guys be able to stick around longer, works for the upper class, works for the guys that are at the top end of all their positions. But if you are too expensive and right in the middle of all this production-wise, more and more guys finding themselves out of jobs. And that's what we're seeing right here, a premium put on rookie contracts, Chinne. And now, you're right, we'll see smart teams be able to put this into play. Because you look at fourth down the list, Diana Russini tweeted out the cap space. New England Patriots sitting there with $53 million of cap space should scare a lot of people. Not a team that's traditionally spent a ton of money in free agency, but spent well when they do these things, drafted well. When you look at them up near the top there, when you look at the Chargers with a young quarterback and a lot of cap space, the Indianapolis Colts with $71 million to go ahead and work with in that spot, Chinne, smarter teams are going to make better use of this. But for a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers that was looking at this, looking at their future potentially laid out before them, I think it makes it a lot more boom or bust now that you've decided to ride with a quarterback who is getting up there and showed those signs of wear, unlike a lot of his peers last year.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, taking it back to the athlete perspective, it's good because I don't see many athletes, sort of, especially quarterbacks, opting to take a little bit less. And I do think it's largely because he's at the tail end of his career. And this season makes it even more difficult. But I do commend this. And I do think that this is going to be better for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But honestly, Junior, I think we're about to, like, strap ourselves into the wild, wild west with the number of players, like you said, those mid-level veteran players that will be available and the smart team snatching them up.
It is amazing, Chinne, just the sheer volume of players we're starting to see out there. You know, we talked about this, seeing some of the names trickle out. It took me 2 days after to realize Nick Martin, a guy who I played with, a guy who was a very good player at Notre Dame, who was the center for a while, second round draft pick by the Texans, had been released by them. That's how fast and furious this is going to start to go in the next couple of weeks. And like everything else in the last year, whether it was the draft last year, moving into the draft this year, or now this free agency period affected by a salary cap that is dropping because of the pandemic, this is going to be a test that the best teams and the best franchises in the NFL were preparing for a long time. And that's why I get worried, even seeing these big numbers for teams like the Jets, for teams like the Bengals, for teams like the Broncos. I don't always know if I trust these groups to go out here and do right, even with that, because now, yeah, you've got all this money, but you've got more constraints in a different situation than ever before. And you know this, Chinne. You can have great players in plenty of spots, but if you look up and still see franchises that have been historically bad, there's a tendency to fumble the bag that we might see work out famously this year.
I'm going to go from top to bottom with the availability in the space. The Jaguars, the Jets, as you mentioned, but the Patriots, really interesting up there, right? And the Colts, and then we go to the Broncos and the Washington football team, and then the Bengals. So opportunity for competency to really show out. All right, if you turn the corner, you can really benefit. But otherwise, those names might be up there for a while still.
Exactly. It could be a struggle, but we know, at least for one team, as they look to try and assemble parts right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing that, believing they've got their quarterback for next season on the roster. As Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers agree on a new contract, going to keep him in Pittsburgh for 2021 and leave them with an extra $15 million in salary.
Very kind.
Cap space.
Well, can we give snaps for, like, that type of... Yeah.
I have a feeling he's going to find some other way to make it up here, Chinne. These things are generally an understanding of the spot he was in, Chinne, because they were not going to take him at a certain price. We remember hearing Kevin Colbert and all the language around him.
Member.
He's a member of this team. Like, that is not love. That is, man, you're going to have to come down on price, or we are going to decide to get younger and cheaper with or without you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how these things work. It's a little bit uncomfortable, but at the end of the day,
follow the money. If you have a question, just follow the money.
Take a walk with the money. Let it hang out with you. It'll tell you a lot of things.
Come find me.
Yeah, I can say money. Come find us, too. We'd love to chat with you. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Coming up next, based on what we saw last night, do we think the drama and the saga is over with James Harden and the Houston Rockets' messy divorce? Or do we actually have to look back even further at the way we treated him before? Tell you why that's not the case next here on ESPN Radio.
Really?
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, did a big man derail the Harden MVP train? We'll talk to another very big man about the prospect of a center winning the MVP in 2021.
Yes.
Look at
Let's
God.
Let's go.
Janae Ogunwike, Mike Golic Jr. here on Janae and Golic Jr. And Janae, our post representation on this show, very excited about that. Janae, you've been banging the gavel on the table for the bigs around this league for a while now, so you're not new to this.
So we just celebrated Trey Day, right? March 3rd, 3-3, in a year where we are on pace to obliterate the records when it comes to team shooting threes. And a big is going to win the MVP, though. And a big is going to win the MVP. I mean, at least I'm hoping. And I consider LeBron James a big, by the way, as well.
A big with hand. Well, I think that's the whole point of this, is we talk about Joel Embiid and his monster performance against the Utah Jazz last night, is the way that bigs have become so skilled. Like, the idea of the world that we live in where Joel Embiid is the one I trust from beyond three in a critical moment for the 76ers more than their guard, Ben Simmons.
And here's going to add to the case, and I hate that I'm going to have to do this, but on .com when it comes to NBA, why Nikola Jokic is drawing comparisons to LeBron James and Luka Doncic, and the title of the article, I believe, on .com is, he's like Luka, but a center. Nikola Jokic is an atypical path to MVP candidacy. Amazing, but I still don't have him in my top three.
Exactly. And so as we look at the top three in the MVP voting, we know, and we've talked about in the show, you love LeBron James still at that one spot in there. Maybe Joel Embiid now? Maybe?
So the MVP conversation when it comes to the NBA, LeBron James, the first half of the season, with, you know, if you take away the last 2 weeks, which I wouldn't judge anyone specifically on the last 2 weeks, LeBron James had been the MVP, but then the Anthony Davis being out, that raises a lot of question marks in my head, Junior, about, all right, like, LeBron is having a great season and he deserves an MVP for one of these past 8 years we haven't given it to them, but there are a lot of young guys entering the chat. Joel Embiid, just how dominant he's been as a big. His team is currently number one in the East. And James Harden, right behind, in the standings, but holding it down in a season that most players probably would have found difficult. Swapping teams, having Kyrie some games, not having KD the last few weeks, and still challenging the standings, you know, as top three or two in the East. So those three guys are the ones that sort of dictate the MVP race. If I had a vote right now, I'd probably go LeBron James, but I think the tide is shifting where someone else can actually steal it.
And we'll see if our ESPN NBA analyst Kendrick Perkins agrees with that assessment in about 10 minutes here as we get ready to chat and catch up with him about that overall MVP race. But James Harden's role in this is fascinating, and James Harden's return home was fascinating last night. Last night, the Nets went down and beat the Rockets in the way that we expected.
By the way,
that game,
Rockets only had 8 players available, but we all knew they were still going to beat them. They could have had 28, and it still wouldn't have changed, but continue.
Exactly. We were shuffling deck chairs in the Titanic for that one. But the real question was going to be centered around the booze and his treatment. And James Harden, the Nets star guard, after the game, talked about his feelings on his receptions back home in Houston.
I mean, once I get on that court, it's just trying to win. You know, I'm not really worried about anything else, so that was kind of, you know, my feeling. Win the game and do whatever it takes and do what you've been doing. Wasn't trying to show off. Wasn't trying to do anything out of the ordinary that I haven't been doing. Tonight I got a little, you know, carried away with some loose turnovers. But other than that, just playing my brand of basketball and the way we've been playing as a team, trying to get a win.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and it's become interesting now because James Harden's success in Brooklyn has been impossible to dispute. He's been great. We've accepted he's been great. I've loved it. I've started the James Harden MVP train. But a lot of people, Janae, have now gone back and tried to make the claim retroactively that we were way too hard on James Harden when he was in Houston to begin with, that the criticisms we levied against him there have disappeared inexplicably now. So I'd ask you, as someone who's near and dear to Houston, were we too hard on James Harden?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100,000,000,000,000% way too hard on James Harden. And maybe because I'm a basketball player from Houston, I have a soft spot and Clyde Drexler signed my first shoe as an athlete, as an autograph. Maybe I'm a little biased. But the reality here is when it comes to James Harden's game, a lot of people said they didn't like how he was scoring. They thought that he was cheating the system with the step back. When James Harden does it, oh, it's a travel. Oh, you know, he's drawing fouls, getting to the rim and just cheating the game because he knows how to get fouled. That's not how we should play basketball. Maybe we should look at it. This man has been the entire team's offense. Completely, complete offense. He's gone through many different versions of the Rockets. Now, of course, he's at fault for performance at some points late in the playoffs. But what he meant to that franchise goes down as one of the best Rockets players ever. And you can't fault someone who has found creative ways ahead of the league to capitalize on being able to score points, whether it's a step back or the foul shooting. All of the whole aesthetics factor of the NBA players, like he just is cheating, he should do it within the game. Why don't y'all try to do it yourself before you start keeping that same energy and judging him harder than you judge other people that do the exact same moves, but he just does it better?
Well, Janae, I would say on that, though, that part of it can be aesthetic. You can appreciate what he does and not like the way it looks, not like the way it muddies up games. I love football, but when we had the Super Bowl a couple of years ago where the Patriots decided to muddy everything up on defense, I said it was a bad game to watch. It was good high-level football, but it doesn't mean I have to enjoy watching it. And for James Harden, part of the transition to Brooklyn, we talked to Brian Windhorst about this, our ESPN NBA insider, who said he's drawing less fouls now at this point. He's being more of the distributor that we saw earlier in his time in Houston.
But I'm saying
our reception has changed because his role has changed. It's because his game was a little uglier then. It was something that we didn't see as effective in the spots it needed to be down the stretch where he'd run out of gas versus this that looks more sustainable and is more fun to watch. I don't think there's a problem.
But the point is, we were critical. And a lot of people try to do what James Harden does, but they can't. But we're holding him against that situation. And that, to me, was unfair because a lot of Rockets fans that wanted to see the Rockets succeed heard a lot of heat on their star player in a way that we normally don't talk about players. And now everything's good. But guess what? It wasn't cool to talk about him and celebrate him when he was doing it for the Rockets. But it's cool when it, you know, his assist numbers were all pretty high, especially for the Rockets. So a lot of people are paralleling that now he's leading the league in assists. So I get the whole role makes it better for you and all that type of stuff. He's handled the season extremely well. But man, I wish we sort of got a little bit more love for him instead of the consistent criticism.
I mean, we gave him the MVP. We did love him. He got plenty of appreciation.
Like, oh, he led the league in scoring. Like, that's cool. Like, how much did we ride for it? Like, we ride for Giannis in the culture when it comes to the MVP. We ride for LeBron James getting it. But James Harden was like, oh, yeah, he led the league in scoring.
That's also the work ethic factor, because the one thing we heard from behind the scenes is what? You had to bring Chris Paul down there to be the adult in the room to make sure to hold people.
Who cares?
I'm saying, when you talk about the way they're received by the public, Giannis and LeBron and those guys that we receive are looked at as grinders. And for all the great parts about James Harden,
Can
you look at me honestly, Chiney, and say that James Harden and grinder, or James Harden
does
and...
Does not matter. This man still got buckets, whether he was in the Rockets or he was on the Brooklyn Nets. So it doesn't matter what your workout, you know, ethic is. When you show up, guess what? That's what he's doing for Brooklyn. The same thing he did for the Houston Rockets. I mean, keep that same energy. He showed up. I don't care what you do. When you show up for the game, you produce, period. And that's what he's done for both teams. And there should have been mutual love, you know, than just consistent hate or whatever.
I love it. I love it when I can get Janae fired up. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance.
James, better be hearing me.
Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Were we too critical on James Harden? And is Joel Embiid the leader for MVP? We'll ask a big man next. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Tempo picking up a little bit. Harden with the hezzy. Spins into the paint. Euro steps. That was vintage James Harden.
James, tonight you were booed. Tonight you were cheered. But how did it feel to return?
Smattering of applause amongst the some 3,900 fans here.
29-14 and 10 later for James Harden. Boo or cheer all you want. He was walking out of there with a dub. Chiney Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agumake. That was one of the few games we've been able to get through lately that didn't have any officiating issues playing a major role in the end.
True.
We got to get to that on its own right. But before we do that, We got to talk to our friend, and I'm delighted now to go to the Goodyear Hotline, where we get to welcome in our friend, ESPN NBA analyst Kendrick Perkins, kind enough to join us now. And Perk, I heard you on The Jump the other day giving Shanae grief because she hadn't invited you on the show yet, so I just want you to know we made some things happen in here. I said we're not coming in today unless we get our man Perk on the show, so we appreciate you, man.
Hey, Mike and Shanae, look, I'm telling you, I'm over here in tears right now. I'm so happy. You get it? Look, hey, I'm so happy to be on the show. I appreciate it. It's about time. It's about time. I watch y'all, I listen to y'all every day. I was wondering when Big Perk was going to get the invite. It finally came today. I'm loving it. What's happening?
Perk, we're great, man. We're sorry it took so long. We won't let it happen
again.
Better
late than never.
That is true. And listen, you know what? We figured we had to bust you out because it's All-Star Weekend, Perk, so we wanted to bring in our All-Star performer here. And we wanted to ask you, because we were talking about James Harden in the last segment. He made his return home. He got the win in Houston with the Nets. And it made us start to wonder, Perk, were we too critical of James Harden when he was in Houston? Because it seems to be all love for him right now in Brooklyn.
Well, no, I mean, I was never critical of James Harden in the way that he performed. I thought, you know, James Harden brought life back to the city when he got traded here from Oklahoma City. From being from Texas, I hadn't seen this much joy around Houston, Texas since the Olajuwon days, Clutch City. And so when I look at James Harden and what he did for the franchise and what he did in the community, there's no other player that impacted the Rockets organization like James Harden besides Olajuwon, in my opinion. Yes, you had other champions, you know, Mario Ely and Otis Thorpe and Sam Cassell, but what I'm talking about, individual accolades and investing heavily in the community, James Harden did like no other. So, you know, a lot of people were critical of him. A lot of people claim that he didn't show up when it mattered the most, but the numbers say otherwise. And he did run into a powerhouse a couple of years in a row to Golden State Warriors. So at the end of the day, I think that James Harden did what he had to do in the H time. He tried his best. He laid it out on the line every single night. He never took days off. And at the end of the day, he came up short. But, hey, I still applaud what he did for the city of Houston.
You better preach, Perk, from the 281-713-832. That's why I like to have my Houston guy here. Also, former teammate of James as well with those OKC days. But I want to take it here, Perk, because Kendrick Perkins joining us, ESPN NBA analyst on Shanae and Gold Jr. I want to take it here because we now have so many different people, Perk, entering the chat when it comes to the MVP conversation. So we've got LeBron James. We've got Joel Embiid, grown man stuff versus the Utah Jazz last night. And, of course, we've got James Harden doing special things. Where do you think the number one person is right now when it comes to the MVP debate? And who's inserted themselves to that conversation as well?
Well, you know what's crazy? I think we're going to be having this debate, and I think it's going to be fluctuating every 2 weeks because guys are putting up doing historical things and having monster numbers. I don't know if it's because the league is just not playing defense or guys are really just that good right now and playing exceptional basketball. But when I think about my MVPs, just 2 weeks ago I had it listed as LeBron James, Joel Embiid, Jokic, Steph Curry, and Damian Lillard. Now, asking me this today, I got it listed as James Harden, Joel Embiid, LeBron James, Jokic, and then Damian Lillard. And I think that's how it's going to be all year long because these guys are out there balling. To me right now, James Harden is the best player in the world. If you watch him on the court and what he brings to the table, how he's making others better, how he's leading the league in assists, how he's averaging a career high in rebounds, how he's averaging a career high in field goal percentage. And I get it. He's only averaging 25 points. And I said only because we all know that he's a walking bucket and he could average 30 in his sleep. He's done it 3 years in a row. But James Harden right now is playing the best basketball that I've seen him play in his entire career. He is controlling the game like no other.
Unbelievable. And right now, I'm with you. I've been all aboard the James Harden MVP train. So, Perk, I'm a rock with you on this one right now. Kendrick Perkins, 15-year NBA veteran, NBA champion with us on the Goodyear Hotline. And, Perk, before we let you go, We talked about these star players. One of the things we've seen, especially this last week, is a lot of them getting pulled off at the end of games because of fouls, technicals, guys getting ejected from games. Does the NBA have an officiating problem right now?
They do. They do. And it's bad. It's real bad, man. You know, and one thing I don't like is that two of the games, it happened on national televised games, right, where you see Devin Booker getting thrown out of the game. And I always say, we always used to say when I was playing, oh, man, we know the refs going to be calling some crazy calls today because they want their TV time. You know they want the camera spotlight so their family can see them every now and then. But it is getting ridiculous. I think the referees need to have, you know, some type of guidelines where they get penalized. And they can't be sensitive to things. Montrezl Harrell got a tech last night for screaming and one. I go to AAU games every weekend because of my son, and that's all I hear is and one. That's a natural thing when you're driving to the basket through traffic. Even if you don't get fouled, it's saying and one. It's just part of it. But I think it's getting bad. I think Adam Silver and the NBA need to address it because refs are being too sensitive. I can understand if someone just keeps going or they may charge you up or it's a fight or something to that nature. Yep. Yeah, it may deserve an ejection, but guys doing a little boxing, like, you got to let that go. People are not paying their hard-earned money to go to games now that we could go. Two, to watch the games, they don't want to watch the refs. Like, you cannot be kicking out stars. I don't want to see you kicking out any player, but let alone the superstars, especially when it's good basketball on TV. Like, they got to figure that out. And I think Adam Silver has to address this problem and has to get these refs' egos in check ASAP.
Hey, ASAP. I'm with you, Perk. It'd be nice for that to be something we don't have to worry about on the other side of All-Star Weekend. But on the other side of All-Star Weekend, we know we'll be talking to you, Perk, plenty more now. We appreciate the time today, man. Happy to have you.
Thanks for coming, Perk.
I appreciate it, family. Y'all keep up the great work. I'm proud of both of y'all. Y'all got a wonderful show. And you know what's crazy? I actually took it light on the refs today because I've been trying to control my emotions. But that was a hard question for me to ask, being a guy that led the league in technical fouls for 3 straight years at one point while I was playing. But y'all have a good one, all right? And I appreciate
that. Personal growth, Perk. Personal growth.
It's a growth mindset in 2021. Kendrick Perkins, our ESPN NBA analyst and 15-year NBA vet, with us on the Goodyear Hotline. Does the NBA have an officiating problem, or is this a part of the ebb and flow of this part of the calendar year? We'll get to that next. Janae Angle Jr. after this word from Indeed.
If you listen to Chenangle Jr., you are the real MVP, real most valuable player. And as a business owner, time is your most valuable resource. That's why Indeed has Instant Match. It's pretty much like love at first sight, but, you know, with jobs. Post a sponsored job and Indeed instantly searches millions of resumes in their database to deliver candidates who best fit your job description. Want to go beyond the resume? Choose from over 135 skills tests to challenge applicants on hard skills like computer proficiency or soft skills like customer service. Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. Blow the whistle. Does the NBA have an officiating problem? Maybe. Yeah, according to Perk, probably. Right after this, we'll talk about that. It's Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
You learn something new every day. For all the times I've seen Kendrick Perkins on our air, for all the times we've heard him actually on the show, but don't tell him that. Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I had no idea he led the league in techs when he was in the league for a year. That's impressive.
Oh, I did. I definitely did. By the way he played, for sure.
That is true. Kendrick Perkins, based on size, the way he played, and personality, seems like a technical. He is a walking tech in ways I appreciate and love.
Look, the thing is, the talking got him in trouble on the court, but off the court, it's been the best thing for him. So he's winning.
I'm telling you, it is what the trajectory Draymond Green is in right now, by the way, too.
Yes.
A guy who knows his way around a technical and is also now showing himself to be very, very impressive around a microphone post-career.
Maybe we found the correlation. The people that lead in techs are probably going to be, you know, great broadcasters. We got to look into this.
I was going to say, we need to start to track this out now here. Start to find them young. Monitor the players getting teased early and realize and acquire great talent
for
broadcasting.
Come on, bosses here. We're trying to help you.
Listen, we don't even get paid extra for this. We're doing it out of the kindness.
Finder's fee.
Of
finder's fee.
That is true. A finder's fee right now. If you missed any of Kendrick Perkins, our favorite technical, check out the Chanae and Golic Jr. podcast wherever you get them. But technicals are where we want to sit right now because, Chanae, I think the NBA's got an officiating problem where we're at because the last week of basketball that we've been watching before the All-Star game, which they have painstakingly worked to try and get off as a celebration of the sport, the last week has been marred not by the great games and matches we had. We had one versus one East and West. We had Harden's return home. The Lakers have been playing with Dennis Schroeder back. And all we've been hearing about is who hasn't been on the court in key moments. And last night, a very frustrated Rudy Gobert in a game that the Utah Jazz lost in overtime to the Philadelphia 76ers, in part because Donovan Mitchell, one of their stars, wasn't on the court after getting two technicals and being ejected from the game. Well, this is what frustration sounds like from the Jazz center and friend of the program.
I'm not able to get some calls that everybody else in the league gets. We know that we're the Utah Jazz and we, you know, maybe some people don't want to see us go as far as I believe that we can go, but it's disappointing. We know that when you're a small market, I don't want to say that, but I really believe it. You know, after playing in this league for 8 years, it's a little harder, and that's one of the things that we got to overcome. That's why I told the guys, you know, when you're a small market, you gotta be better than just better. You gotta be, you know, you gotta be elite, and we gotta control what we can control. But it's very disappointing to be disrespected like that.
Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. You can hear the frustration there, Chanae, but I think it's warranted in this, even if I don't think this is necessarily an attack on small markets.
It wasn't. No, it isn't. But it's kind of true. You know, when you're not one of those glitz and glamour franchises, whether it's like the city of New York or the city of Los Angeles, sometimes the energy is just a little bit different. And, you know, also playing at home does have a factor. But man, let me tell you this. You don't want your players, if you're the NBA, to have this consistent message of not being happy with the refs and not just being unhappy, but taking on the fines willingly just to get their piece out there to tell you exactly how they really feel. Rudy Gobert was big mad. Donovan Mitchell was big mad. Devin Booker was big mad. And then not too long ago, Stan Van Gundy, New Orleans Pelicans coach, was, you know, trying to help Zion out. Like, a lot of the key players, which, mind you, we're lucky that the stars can actually take those fines. Imagine how the other players feel. The players that don't have a voice, that are at the mercies or the whims of their teammates saying what they need them to say. Speaking of Draymond Green, who would do that for them. So yeah, I think the NBA does have an officiating problem, but here's the natural evolution of it. In the middle of an NBA season, what we do when we're starting that season as professional athletes is circle our break. NBA All-Star break. It's going to be a grind, committing yourself to being the best team and best player until NBA All-Star break. But around then, which we're very, you know, close, the All-Star game on Sunday, you're going to see those frustrations boil over. And there's usually a lot of technicals, a lot of fouls, because people are tired, people are cranky, and they just need a break. I'm not saying that that is this year, because it seems like the officiating on top of it, being able to get rid of a star player in a key moment like that, you got to read the room. That's something that the NBA as a brand doesn't want. So yeah, there's an officiating problem that is natural based on the position that we're in, but also they added, is it salt to the wound or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they added salt to the wound by kicking out star players like Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, and Rudy Gobert, who's a defensive player of the year who has a lot of credibility when it comes to defense. Him saying, man, I don't even get it easy, and I'm two-time defensive player of the year. So there's a problem.
Chanae and Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. I think that's the biggest issue, is the stars being absent from those big moments in that way. But that frustration you talked about, I think, is exacerbated by this year. This was an All-Star break. Remember, they thought they were getting a break, not having to play in this game. So you have that frustration compounded by a quick turnaround of the season, all leading to this moment. And you've got refs being sensitive at the same time, which is a big no-no, because at the end of the day, this is still an entertainment product, and I didn't pay to see those zebras. Now, coming up next, it is about entertainment, but people also want to make sports about loyalty. The biggest reminder we got today about why that's not always true.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.